Well, if there's one phrase that I hope I never hear Jesus speak to me, it's "get behind me, Satan." That's definitely one thing I hope God never speaks to me, is "get behind me, Satan." Because those are pretty stark words. And it would be very painful for the God of the universe to call you evil, the devil. And so what is happening? Why does Jesus use such strong language to Peter? And in order to truly understand what's going on, we have to first recognize that this reading of the gospel comes directly after last week's reading with no intermission. So just a reminder, last week was when Jesus brought the apostles to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks, "Who do people say I am?" They say, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah risen from the dead, some Jeremiah. He says, great, 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 but who do you say I am? And Simon pipes up and says, you are the Christ, you are the King, you are the Savior of the entire world, King of the universe. He goes, yes, Simon, you got it. And you are no longer Simon, you are Petros, you are rock. You are the rock of the church. Peter, you are the father of the household, you are the Pope. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You are the rock. So we have this beautiful, glorious moment where Peter, Simon, sees who Jesus truly is, the King of the universe, the Savior, the Messiah, and then Jesus tells him who he is. You are now Peter, rock. And so Jesus begins to describe what it means to be king or to be savior. And the reason he's doing this is because for the Jewish people, and since the apostles are good Jewish men, they would have thought that the king, the Messiah, was going to be an earthly king. Meaning that the Jewish people believed we have these different kings in different countries of the land of the world, and that God will send a savior to then reign as a king on earth. That's what the Messiah would do. That's what the Jewish people thought. And so then Jesus is saying, no, 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 like, you're right, Peter, I am the king, I am the savior, but this is what the savior is going to have to do. And he probably didn't say it in an easy way. He probably said, they're going to arrest me. And they're going to beat me until I'm very bloody. They're going to whip me. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit in my face. And they're going to crown me with thorns that are going to dig into my head and into my brain. And they're going to make a cross for me, and they're going to make me carry it for miles. They're going to make me carry it up a hill, and they're going to nail me to that cross, and then I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and then I'll be dead for 3 days. But I will raise from the dead. And so when the apostles are hearing this, they're probably thinking, what? No, this is not what a king does. A king goes on a horse. A king takes his sword and destroys everyone else. You're going to die? They're going to destroy you? What are you talking about? So no, Jesus, I will not let that happen to you. I will protect you. I'm Peter. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. Now this phrase, Satan, you are an obstacle to me, in the Greek is literally Satana, scandalon, amo. Satana, Satan, scandalon, scandal, to me, amo, you are. Satan, you are a scandal to me. And the word in Greek, scandalon, literally translates into stumbling block or rock that gets in the way. So he's saying, yeah, I just called you Peter, I just called you rock, and you're called to be the firm foundation of the church, and right now this rock is getting in the way of my mission. You are an obstacle. You are a scandal. You are not doing what I have called you to do. You are not picking up the cross. There is a sinking ship, and I'm trying to save it, and you are a rock making the ship sink more. So he says to them, if you want to know what true salvation is, you have to pick up your own cross and follow me. Don't reject it. And so how do we do this? Because if we do not pick up our cross, if we do not follow the way of Christ, then yes, we will always scream out, God, you have duped me, you have deceived me, you have given me pain, and it's all a waste of time. So how do we do this? How do we not get in the way of the mission? And so when I was praying over this, what stuck out in my mind was actually part of my vocation and the deciding factor of when I decided to be a priest. And so, of course, I was in college studying music. I had my plan for life. And then this question comes up, what about being a priest? So I started thinking about it. And as I'm praying, I would hear God, you know, knocking on my heart. Be a priest. Be a priest. It was a very silent whisper. Everyone around me screaming, do this, do that, get married, do this, do that. Be a priest. And I would hear this voice and I would be intrigued by it. I would like the voice, but then I would think, what does that mean if I listen to the voice, if I listen to the call? Well, that means I have to give up everything I know in my entire life. I had to give up what I'm studying. I have to give up my plan. I have to give up marriage. I have to leave my family, go somewhere else, in a new place, and change everything. What? And so I had this big fear of giving everything up, and what was the depths of my fear was the fact that priests don't get married. And I thought, God, can I be happy as a celibate man? Is that possible? Did you make me for that? And so I had this fear. And the fear was so tangible that I would have these moments where I would think, what if I get ordained? What if I become a priest? I'd do it. I'd give it up. Maybe I have a good year of priesthood. Maybe a good year and a half. And then maybe in 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years, maybe I'll wake up in my rectory by myself, a dark room, a cold bed, no wife, no kids, no joy, no hair. And I die. I thought, God, I don't want that. That sounds like a bad cross. Give up my life and be miserable? What if that happens? Because that's what I'm afraid of. Maybe if I do all this, maybe that could happen. I could enter into a big, heavy cross and be weighed down by it so much that's miserable. And then just die. So I would tell this to the Lord all the time. That's my fear. And so one day I'm reading this book about Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, and this one quote changed my life. It said, if I make just one child happy through the love of God, isn't it worth everything? So I read the quote again. If I make just one child happy through the love of God, isn't it worth everything? So I closed the book. I said, okay, Jesus, let's just play out the worst case scenario. Let's entertain the fear. I give it all up. I go to seminary. I become a priest. I get ordained. I have a good year and a half. And then I do, in 50 years, wake up. Alone in a dark room, in a cold bed, no wife, no kids, no happiness, no joy. And I die. What if the fear happens, the heaviest cross? And as I imagine that, I then imagine that, okay, at least I should go to heaven, right? If I give everything up. So remember, I got to heaven, and heaven was just an empty room. It was just me and Jesus. There was nobody else there. And Jesus said, thank you for being a priest. But then he moved aside, and there's a man behind him. He said, do you know him? I said, nope, don't know who that is. He says, this is Michael. He said, now Michael was going to go to hell. He said, he wasn't choosing me, he wasn't choosing my love, he wasn't choosing heaven. He was choosing the wrong path, he was choosing hell. So Michael was going to go to hell for eternity. But you became a priest. Michael met you. Michael met me, Jesus. That one moment changed his life. He started choosing me, choosing my love, choosing the gospel. And now Michael's here in heaven forever. And as Jesus said the word forever in this empty room of heaven, it like echoed like forever, forever, forever. And that word went deep into my heart and broke something open as I heard the word forever. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I pick up this cross, even if it is maybe terrible for 50 years, oh my gosh, 50 years of suffering for a soul in heaven for eternity? What's 50 years for eternity? Forever? For heaven? Lord, sign me up. I'll go. And then I also recognize that if God makes you for something, he doesn't make you for misery. The cross will be difficult, but it'll be beautiful. And you see, what happened in that moment is that I recognized one big thing was that life is not about me. Life is not about me. Life is not about you. That's what hit my heart. That's what opened up. Because prior to that, what happened? The cross in my mind was the same. Nothing changed. Before that moment of, wow, the cross was, what if it's terrible? What if it's miserable? What if it's painful? What if it's heavy? And after that moment, what if it's painful? What if it's miserable? What if it's heavy? What changed was not the cross. What changed was the purpose and the focus. And before I saw that life was not about me, I thought it was. And so if it's painful, what do I get? If it's miserable, what do I get? Because if life is about me, then I should remove all suffering. If you make me suffer, I should get you out of my life. If you're now in a marriage and things are difficult, I should remove you because you cause pain. Get out, I'll find somebody else. Remove the obstacle. Remove it. And if life is about me, then yeah, God, what are you doing up there? Why do you give me so much pain? But we recognize that life is not about us, that life's not about you. Life's not about me. I tell this to myself. I have to every day. When we recognize that, then the whole world changes. Everything. We then recognize that every suffering we have, we should be giving and offering up for other people. Because if we think not like men, but like God, men can only focus on the earth. We have to focus on the heaven. The point of our suffering is not to go away now, but to be transformed, redeemed, and resurrected and make beautiful fruit in the kingdom forever. So we should not be afraid to pick up that cross. And so we must ask ourselves every day, because that's what Christ means when he says deny yourself. Deny yourself means forget about you. Remember that life is about everyone else. He did not die for himself. He died for you. So at the end of the day, ask this question every day. Who did I live and die for? Was it about me or about others? When I came home at the end of the day, did I go on my computer, surf the web? Because I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm busy. I need my time. If I get home, the kids will be fine. They can play with themselves. Daddy needs to sit down. You will not be satisfied, you will never be happy, you will never be fulfilled if life is about you. Because if life is about us, it's a suffering that never has any resurrection. So ask that question daily. Who's life about? And what am I suffering for? What's the purpose? Is it for another, and is it for heaven? So as you receive the Eucharist, God incarnate, suffering incarnate with the resurrection, receive it, you decrease, he increases, and recognize that Christ did not come to destroy suffering. He came to teach us how to suffer and then how to redeem it. If we recognize that, we will no longer be a scandal. We will be a rock that's not in the way, but one that is a firm foundation of our lives, of the lives of our family and friends. And Christ will redeem all things.